War Room. Second hour is on. I'll be joined in the third hour by Tiffany Cianci, talking about a big protest that's happening this weekend. But I want to go to a clip here of Nick Fuentes. He's making the case for basically not voting Republican. And I think he makes a very compelling case. I'm sort of torn about this because, you know, I recognize the threat of the Democrats in power. I think now is kind of the time to do this because it is a midterm year. And so it's not like I'm really worried about the Democrats just having total power, having the Congress and the House and the Senate, or the House and the Senate and the presidency. I think they'd be able to destroy the country that way. Obviously, even if the Democrats win in the midterms, it'll sort of jam up Trump. Like, maybe then there's an opportunity in 2028 to like reset the board. I don't know. All I know is that we only have one method of changing their behavior, and that is withholding our vote. So here's Nick Fuentes making the case.
I cannot wait for the Democrats to take the House. They subpoena and investigate Kristi Noem and Lauren and Corey Lewandowski, and they find so much corruption. It's going to make the impeachments during Trump 1 look like a joke. All that stuff about Paul Manafort and the business documents and the Ukrainian phone call, the corruption that they will discover when the Democrats are in the House, it's going to make all that stuff look like a joke. And they're just going to keep stacking it up on top of Vance. We're going to be in our war with Iran. The Middle East is going to be a mess. The economy is going to be a mess. The Trump administration is corrupt. He might even be impeached. You are fucked. And we are not going to bail you out. Sorry. 2026, I'm telling people to stay home. You know what my message is in 2026? Stay home. We got to vote to get back on track. Fuck you. And the guy that posted it, I like the guy. It's not directed at him, but that sentiment, we got to get everybody back on track. Go fuck yourself. You told us when we wanted the Epstein files, we don't need your votes anymore. Hey, wish granted. Remember that? Remember in July of 2025 when Trump said, if you want the Epstein files, you're not a real supporter. I don't want your vote. Hey, wish granted, pal. Wish granted. You wanted it. You got it. F*** you. You want to get it back on track? Good luck. Call Netanyahu. That's the part that I love. They sell us out. H-1B visas galore, student visas galore, no mass deportations, burying the Epstein files. I think Bill Clinton's a great guy. And then in 26, they're going to be begging us for the vote. Hey, guys, we need your help. You know, President Trump needs more seats to keep the agenda going. You know what I have to say about that? You're worried about your majority in 2026. You're worried about losing the House. Why don't you ask Bill Clinton for his vote then? Ask Bill Clinton. Ask those 600,000 Chinese students. Ask the H-1B workers. Ask the Israelis. Ask Netanyahu for a vote. He gave Netanyahu $20 billion. Ask him to vote for you. You gave Wall Street the corporate tax cut extension, why don't you ask them for the vote? You know, ask them. Go and bother them with your campaign ads. Don't bother us because we still have illegal immigrants in our cities. We still have rampant crime in our cities. The job market still sucks. We're not richer. Our purchasing power has not increased. Go ask somebody else because we are not interested. We do want to burn it all down. Correct. You don't want our vote? Wish granted, you're not getting it this time.
Hard to disagree with him. Hard to disagree with him. I mean, Trump did say, if you want the Epstein files, I don't need your vote. So it's like, you're mad at us not voting for him. Be mad at him for basically forcing our hand. Sorry.
If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, You should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone, you know. Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones Store is doing with their product line. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com, Ultra Methylene Red.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
All right, welcome back, folks. We got a lot of stuff still to cover in this second hour of the War Room. I'm just going over some of the headlines from today. This one, just one of those things. Apparently, they announced that Benjamin Netanyahu had prostate cancer 2 months ago. And it's one of these, like, okay, so you're basically admitting you have a cure for cancer. Because here's what we didn't see. Here's what we haven't seen. We haven't seen Benjamin Netanyahu going in for any long-term treatments. We certainly haven't seen him be subjected to radiation poisoning and have all of his hair fall out. So how did he cure himself of cancer exactly? Like, this is a very strange story. It says Netanyahu says he hid prostate cancer from public because of Iran war. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Friday that he had been diagnosed with and treated for early stage prostate cancer, but delayed revealing his condition for 2 months to avoid it being used against Israel amid the war in Iran. A statement posted on X, Netanyahu, who will be 77 in October, said he requested publication of his annual health report be delayed so as not to be released at the height of the war to prevent the Iranian terror regime from spreading further false propaganda against Israel. The prime minister's annual health report released on Friday said Netanyahu underwent surgery on December 29th, 2024 for an enlarged prostate. The surgery had been reported publicly at the time. A few months ago, during a routine follow-up, doctors discovered early stage prostate cancer. The prime minister was presented the option of active surveillance or radiation therapy. He chose to have targeted radiation therapy at Hadassah 2.5 months ago. Israeli strikes against Iran began February 28th. He said, "Thank God I'm healthy. I'm in excellent physical shape. I had a minor medical issue with my prostate that's been fully treated," Netanyahu said in his statement, adding that when he received the medical diagnosis of a malignant growth, he decided to undergo treatment immediately. Like, but is that not? Like, why did he not lose his hair? Why did he not? What sort of treatment was this? I don't know. Maybe I don't know enough about cancer treatments. It's just very kind of suspicious to me when they're like, oh, yeah, Netanyahu, he has prostate cancer and it's already cured and it happened 2 months ago, but he's totally well now and he's totally fine. And it's like, OK, can we have the cure? Can we also be given this treatment? Because I've never heard of anybody who just rids themselves of prostate cancer in 2 months with no outward sign of treatment. That's crazy. But okay, I don't know. Does the crew know about this? Do I not know about these treatments? Seems to me like prostate cancer is still kind of a big deal, kind of like an earth-ending diagnosis, but not for Netanyahu, apparently. I mean, am I crazy? I don't know. Maybe the crew knows more about this than I do. Since then, journalists and members of the opposition have raised doubts regarding the completeness of information provided to the public concerning his medical details. Okay. Yeah, I don't. That's weird. That's weird. He has prostate cancer, but now it's cured. So you missed it. You missed his chemo treatments. He did do chemo treatments. It's just they didn't make him lose his hair and only lasted a week. So, okay. What? Okay. Now I want to talk about USAID. Okay. USAID seems to be the one thing from DOGE that actually was legitimately dismantled to some degree, at least. Now, there's an article in the New York Times that's yet another sob story, and we've seen a bunch of these, which is interesting because you never got sob stories about the Americans who lost their jobs when their, you know, jobs were sold out from under them to H-1B visa holders. We've seen, you know, gigantic swaths out. You'll never hear a story about the highly qualified, dedicated, and active young men trying to get jobs and being blocked out because of the rush inspired by Black Lives Matter to hire nothing but minority people. But we're getting the sob stories about the USAID because these poor, innocent government workers are no longer making $250,000 for trying to stop AIDS in Zimbabwe. And no, I'm not just making that up. Sarah Miner, 42, who was the senior advisor in the agency's HIV/AIDS office and previously ran health programs in Mozambique, Zambia, and Zimbabwe, now says she helps manage health and human services programs for Fairfax County, Virginia. And it's just all this stuff about how sad they are that they're no longer able to work at USAID. These overweight, middle-aged women are obviously the biggest victims in our entire society. And it's an absolute tragedy that we all care a lot about. Susan Cohen, 57, was making $272,000 a year as a senior vice president of USAID funded nonprofit when she was let go at the end of March 2025. Last month, she had an online interview for a $19 an hour job at Pinsey's Spice Store near her home in Falls Church, Virginia. Okay, so you're doing great. So you're doing all right then. And I can't remember if it was this woman or another one. I think it might have been this woman. But it's like, or no, it was another woman, because it was like she worked for USAID and her husband had a NGO whose money all came from USAID. And it's all this type of stuff where it's just like, yeah, no, they should not be allowed to just be making hundreds of thousands of dollars because their wife works at USAID and can sign off on infinite amounts of other people's money. Like, no, you have to go be productive now. You have to do something that people actually want. And the more you look into USAID, the more you look into the scams that, you know, the welfare scams, the daycare scams. It's just the classic, like, libertarian idea of just like, yeah, the easiest way to make money now is, I mean, why should you have to make something that you have to entice people to pay for? Why should you have to compete for other people's dollars? Why should you have to prove your worth before you're given money? Just write a one sheet, file an LLC through LegalZoom, and then USAID will write you a $500,000 check. And you don't even have to do anything. You don't have to accomplish anything. There's no return on investment. There's no metric to judge your success by. It's just infinite free money from the American taxpayer for whatever it is that you're doing. Whether it's valuable, who's to say, what it's worth, who knows? But you're getting paid, you know, more than executives for managing the money that we send you. It's insane that we do any of this. And it really is just a shortcut. Like, it's just, I don't know, there's something so just like viscerally off-putting about it to me. This idea that these scumbags are just getting access to piles of gold and they just do nothing for anybody, but they just have the in, or they just, you know, ask for the money and they're just given it. And it's one of these things that's like, okay, in any other, you know, in an actual productive business, you know, this type of stuff doesn't make any sense. It's like, you know, for most productive businesses, you know, there's going to be like a problem if the business just shuts down immediately. There's going to be people that are need services and they're not going to get it. With USAID, it's like, all right, you're no longer allowed to, whatever, go around and give speeches to high schoolers about being gay. It's like, all right, when you cut that off, what happens? Nothing. Absolutely. If anything, things get better. So like, just why are these people earning hundreds of thousands of dollars and achieving nothing? It is genuinely insane. actually insane. This is it. January 28th, 2025. Amy Ucello, and her husband, who also lost his job when USAID funding his nonprofit dried up, rely on food stamps, Medicaid, and supplemental nutritional program for women and children that helps with their now 19-month-old daughter. So again, it's just like, so what was his nonprofit? What was it doing? The funding dried up. So like, I just picture, you know, this like big, you know, like water tank of, you know, American taxpayer dollars. And we have to like work our fingers to the bone and we contribute a drop of water, you know, and you do that, you know, millions of people all working day and night. And then half of their money is taken. It's put in the money and it equates about a drop. And then these people are just crowded around the water tank, just slamming hoses into it and siphoning out the money by the hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, what is this construct? Like, I don't know. Something about this sentence just like triggered me. Her husband, who also lost his job when USAID funding for his nonprofit dried up, rely on food stamps. This is the scam about NGOs. So he wasn't a government employee. Okay, so he wasn't bound by the strictures of being a government employee. He wasn't actually, he didn't actually have a job and a salary with the government. He just invented a quote unquote nonprofit and just received checks from the government. Again, just because it's money with no oversight, because it's not their money, so they can spend it however they want. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm expressing this enough. And maybe you just have to be able to picture it for yourself. But I literally picture this guy, just like at home, you know, in his socks, just like sitting there on welfare, just being like, "Man, can't believe they cut off my $175,000 a year salary for running my nonprofit." And it's like that alone. It's like it doesn't even matter what the nonprofit is. It's just like, you were paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for running a nonprofit. Do you see a little inconsistency there? That the government as it exists now is basically just like a no-show job scam that the mafia runs. Where they literally is just, yeah, give your husband a $100,000 grant from USAID. Why not? Why not? What are they going to do? Call it fraudulent? Why? There's nothing that you're asking in return for the money. I'd really love to know what this guy's nonprofit was. Maybe we should try to look it up. Ucello, Amy Ucello and her husband, who she worked for USAID, and apparently he ran a nonprofit that just received a ton of money from the government. Okay, but all of this sort of pales in comparison to what USAID actually did, which was overthrow countries for the sake of the American ruling class. And they're still doing it, only now they're doing it internally here in America. So we're going to go to a video, clip number 5. It's posted by somebody named Chaos Coordinator. But it relates to this article from Substack called Inside Job, Blueprint for an American Color Revolution, Part 3, The Recording. And we'll go ahead and listen to this, and then I can break down sort of more to it, but this seems very legitimate, and I have no reason to doubt the authenticity of what we're being presented here. So without any further ado, here it is. This is from the article Inside Job, Blueprint for an American Revolution, Part 3, and it is the internal discussion of the government employees attempting to overthrow our government. Let's watch.
On April 15th, 2026, 39 people logged on to an encrypted Jitsi video conference. They expected the room to stay sealed. It didn't. Operators choose this specific open source platform when they want zero digital footprint left behind. But a recording of that call made its way out and is now in our possession. This document identifies the call's moderator, Jeremy Alexander Zittimer, a former engineer at the U.S. Digital Service inside the White House. His reported 2023 federal salary was over $152,000. The people on this call are highly compensated federal insiders. He was joined by Beverly Schreiber, the deputy director of a group called the Federal Workers Alliance for Democracy, or FWAD. This gathering brought together senior bureaucrats on a private platform to coordinate a strategy that the organization's own leadership expected to stay closed. Before the main presentation began, Deputy Director Schreiber introduced their guest speaker to the room. This transcript shows the exact phrasing Schreiber used. She stated the guest helped with non-cooperation training. Non-cooperation is a precise tactical term, the coordinated withdrawal of labor and compliance, used to freeze a system by refusing to execute the tasks it relies on. FWAD leadership knowingly brought in an outside expert to teach federal employees a specialized methodology designed to freeze their own government. That outside expert was Courtney A. Pompey from the Democracy Renewal Group. Unprompted on the recording, Pompey admitted she has spent the last 26 years working in the international democracy and human rights space. Her professional network traces directly back to the State Department and USAID, specifically a branch known as the Office of Transition Initiatives. This office ran covert influence operations, like Zunzuneo, a secret Twitter alternative for Cubans, shut down by Congress in 2012. Their internal strategies explicitly focus on organizing smart mobs to force power shifts overseas. These are the networks that orchestrated massive, state-toppling civil resistance movements in places like Belgrade and Kyiv. Their theoretical foundation comes straight from the work of Gene Sharp, the academic who wrote the manual on breaking authoritarian regimes without firing a single shot. Pompey operates as an architect of foreign regime change, bringing decades of covert operational experience directly to this private call. This document details the specific training module Pompey presented, a case study of civil resistance inside the government of Poland. She broke down the resistance into a step-by-step process. Step 1. Career officials inside the administration use their platform to publicly warn citizens that upcoming government actions will result in complete chaos. Step 2. Weaponize technical expertise. Bureaucrats use their specialized knowledge of the system to execute strategic whistleblowing. Step 3. Direct non-compliance. Career civil servants simply refuse to hand over the sensitive data their elected leaders request. Step 4. Introduce friction. They orchestrate what Pompey calls administrative drag to grind processes to a halt, making it logistically impossible to carry out scheduled actions, like holding an election. When executed in sequence, these four tactics create a multi-layered administrative barrier designed to paralyze a target government from within. But the experts from the Democracy Renewal Group are no longer training dissidents in Eastern Europe. The exact same vocabulary, the identical cadence, and the three-layer organizational charts used to break foreign states have been fully reconstituted inside the United States. A tactical methodology explicitly built to topple overseas dictatorships is now being aimed directly at the constitutionally elected executive branch of the American Republic. The recorded training demonstrates that internal resistance can be manufactured using a specific professional refusal pattern. The coalition that ran color revolutions in Belgrade, Tbilisi, and Kyiv has turned that apparatus inward, training federal civil servants to apply those same methodologies to the United States government.
So yeah, blueprint for an American color revolution. That sounds like exactly what it is. Again, I'm going off what they've reported, but everything seems to align with what we've seen. And of course, all of this is in preparation of really what they intend to be their communist revolution, which will occur on May 1st of 2028. The OTI is the USAID Office of Transition Initiatives. It's the sub-office whose operational history includes Zunzuneo, the covert Twitter for Cubans that ran from 2009 to 2012 before Congress shut it down. They create, quote, smart mobs that might renegotiate the balance of power between the state and society. So, color revolution. That's what it is. There was a bureaucratic resistance to this where career officials within the election administration body itself and the National Election Office publicly warned folks that these changes would create a very much chaotic election environment. There was whistleblowing, again, primarily through the expertise of bureaucrats that understood the process. This is what they're describing. You create the expectation of chaos that you then play into. Local government officials, civil servants, career civil servants refused to hand over sensitive voter data. The outcome was that the drag on the administrative process made it logistically impossible to hold the election on a scheduled date, creating a postponement of the election. Now, we've talked before about the CIA handbook on disruption and how, you know, they point out the best way to disrupt things isn't to go in and, you know, try to be a bulwark against it. It's to get in, pretend you're participating, and just start asking questions and causing strife and causing friction and just slowing things down a little bit. And just every decision, just come up with an objection that you don't even have to believe, but just as a thought experiment. Well, might this exclude this type of person? And how are we going to deal with that? Just to slow things down, gum up the works. I mean, this is straight out of the CIA manual for sabotage. And that's been around since, you know, like the 40s. So after Pompey wrapped, Zittimer unveiled the organization's updated mission and structure. He says, for the last several weeks, FWAD convened our entire leadership team alongside 26 federal worker leaders across 18 agencies, a mix of current and former, including 11 partner organizations, 26 federal worker leaders, 18 federal agencies, a mix of currently employed and recently separated, 11 partner organizations from the FWAD operational leader's own mouth. If a congressional investigator, a federal prosecutor, or an inspector general ever wants to understand the scope or coordination inside the federal workforce, that sentence is the baseline. Then he says that agency resistance groups, or ARGs, as FWAD calls them, functionally fill the role of gathering together people from an agency to engage in symbolic or non-cooperative resistance. We call these ARGs. We've realized that ARGs, which historically have been one part of our work, are actually the centerpiece of our entire strategy. The Federal Workforce Organizing Apparatus now has a name, Agency Resistance Groups. The tactic is non-cooperation. The venue is the federal workplace. The strategy presenter is a former White House executive office of the president technologist. Inside the organization's shared services layer, Zittimer named a specific function. He says, immigration gathering and analysis, which also includes a mix of adversarial analysis. This is kind of a know the enemy, understand what the administration is planning to do, and identifying points of leverage for people to engage in resistance. Points of leverage. So again, we saw this under Trump's first administration. We expected this to be the exact type of thing that DOGE and others would help to avoid this go around. But it looks like these people are highly organized within the federal government and are gearing up and getting ready to actually overthrow the government. I'm not exaggerating or being hyperbolic here, because this is one of the things that they said. Quote, if something like that happens again, talking about the day that they woke up and Trump had threatened to bomb all of Iran. And they were really outraged about this. So they said, he described what he saw as a failure of the movement to mobilize rapidly on that day. And he delivered the sentence that are now the primary source editorial center of this entire investigation. So they woke up on April 7th, 2026, and basically was disappointed that they weren't ready to mobilize at that moment, saying if something like that happens again or the day after the election when they seize the ballots and declare that none of that counted, we're going to need the ability to rally people on short notice to not just have parades, right? Not have a festival and demonstration, not a demonstration of our numbers, but maybe a demonstration of our power and actually withdraw cooperation and shut down the country until not just the election results are respected, but until Trump is removed from power. I think aligning around that strategic strategy and building the capability to do that. They're trying to overthrow the country.
Right now is the time to support InfoWars as Twilight. We are shutting down next Thursday night. The InfoWar continues for all of you. The AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. It owns the Alex Jones Network. They won't be able to shut us down. We have fought them and we will continue on, but I need your support. The supplements, the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, it is all incredible, top rated, so good for you. You're insane if you don't get it. And we're running a fundraiser here. All the original InfoWars products, we're not going to sell once this goes through, because even though we're battling in court, they could come back and say we violated their whatever. So if you want to get original InfoWars gear and the new update, the 1776 line, now is the time. Also, they're running mega sales every day for the next week at Bigley. If you subscribe to any supplement, you can lock it in for 50% off when you buy it into the future. Cancel anytime with one click. Sign up for any supplement subscription. You get 50% off plus a free bottle of either Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy Incredible Formulas. Ultimate Chill helps support calm, balance, and focus. Ultimate Energy helps support energy, drive, and mental intensity. Third deal on top of it. Every order gets a free mystery gift with purchase. Biggest sales ever. We want to hire more hosts. We want to expand once this is over. We want to go at least 5 a.m. to midnight every night. We've got big plans, okay? We fought all the way. We rode it till the wheels came off. We're going all the way. We're still going to block the Onion scammers that got exposed a year and a half ago. They're trying it again. We're going to sue the living hell out of them. Wait till after our guest leaves us. We found incredible information on them. It is so shocking. It's going to just blow you away. Guess what they're into? I don't think you'll be surprised, but it's so bad. You're not going to. I mean, it is the sickest stuff you've ever seen. Out and out Satanism, torturing, murdering children. They love it. They're promoting it. Wait till you see this with Will Ferrell, everything. It's all coming up. But I will continue to fight these people 110%. I love it. I'm built to do it. But I cannot do it without your backing and support. So make the decision now, especially the 99% of you, have millions of viewers a day, that never go to theolivestonestore.com to get these incredible items, incredible knives, silver coins, collectibles. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And it's a free app. TheAlexJonesApp.com. Android, on Apple, it's all there. It's free. Get it. The show's right there in the center of it. And you get big discounts on the shopping cart when you do it to the app. AlexJonesApp.com. And soon we'll announce the new news site that's even better than InfoWars. It's all coming up. But I can't do it without you. You get all the credit. I need your support now. Firing the bat signal. I want to thank you all for your past support. But those that haven't supported, what are you doing? TheAlexJonesStore.com. Stay with us. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up
about it.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Listen up, losers. Stop pretending it's a democracy. We run things. Give up the illusion, and in exchange, we will bring you order and efficiency. Yes, we'll own you. But do you really want to be free? Trust us. We know what to do. While Silicon Valley was feeding you dope and free email, we built the architecture of empire. Welcome to our world, motherfucker. We aren't here to protect your privacy. We are here to enforce supremacy. We are the ledger now. Every tax return, every Medicaid file, every license plate, every crossing. Your president signed it into being with a pen in March. You kept scrolling. Your politicians are empty vessels. Your civil liberties are a liability. We are done pretending all cultures are equal. We know who the elites are. We know what we are building. And we demand that you applaud the billionaires taking the reins where your fragile democracies have failed. Welcome to the technological republic. You can stop scrolling now. We already have everything we need. Try to unplug us. We dare you. Now get the fuck out of here, you peasant.
Marjorie, how dangerous.
Very nice. Very nice. Very lovely stuff from our friends over at Palantir, who have basically systematically wormed their way into every function of our federal government. And that's because that's the way things are going. We're going to sort of privatized security measures. That way they're not restricted by, you know, government restrictions. Kind of an NGO strategy they're taking, only it's with a private company and monopoly. Of course, they already have groups like this that are already sort of doing this on a independent basis. This is from Dropsite News. Meet the top content producers linked to Canary Mission. So Canary Mission is similar to the SPLC or the ADL or Stop Anti-Semitism. It's one of these groups who basically have taken it upon themselves to be the judge, juries, and executioners ruining people's lives for disagreeing with the state of Israel. So again, why they are allowed to operate like this, I can't possibly imagine, but they are. So we have to stop them. The pro-Israel doxing site Canary Mission has been notoriously secretive since its creation in 2015. The anonymous website, which began as an online blacklist targeting academics and activists who expressed pro-Palestine views, over the last year has been used by the Trump administration to select international students for arrest, detention, and deportation. Despite its increasingly high profile, the website's operators have remained largely unknown. Now, we do have, you know, videos of the founder of the Canary Mission. Maybe I'll see if I can bring one of those in or if the crew can find him. I included one in the Eighth Front War. And yeah, he's one of these people that's very open about what they're doing. And it's simple. It's cynical. It's not even, they don't even try to like dress it up in the language of we're, you know, fighting anti-Semitism and we fight hate of all types. You know, there's nothing like that. He's just like, if they oppose us, we destroy them. And we're going to get lots of groups, thousands of groups together, all cooperating with each other, so nobody can escape our clutches and nobody can exist without our permission. I mean, that is the type of stuff they say. It's insane and tyrannical. In January, Dropsite reported on unlisted websites used by Canary Mission to plan and execute its doxing operation and was able to confirm that the site is operated in Israel. Okay, so it's a foreign collection of foreigners who basically destroy Americans' lives for disagreeing with them, with the cooperation of Americans, obviously. The unlisted website data revealed that an employee paid by the Israeli nonprofit Megamot Shalom as a writer provided content for Canary Mission's dossier of targets, confirming earlier reporting by The Forward that Megamot Shalom's only known activity appears to be providing support for Canary Mission. Dropsite has now identified five more people whom Megamot Shalom has employed as content writers, editors, and consultants. These individuals, Elihu David Stone, Yehuda HaCohen, Abigail Bornstein, Erhoen Dickel, and Alexander Malbin Duncan, were identified through a review of Megamot Shalom's business filings with the Israeli government from 2016 to 2024, where they were listed as the nonprofit's highest paid employees. They're all Americans who moved to Israel and are connected to one another and individuals reportedly involved with the Canary Mission. None of the individuals identified by Dropsite responded to a request for comment. Dropsite is not publishing the names of two other individuals listed in Megamot Shalom's filings because additional identifying details were not publicly available. The Canary Mission website launched in the spring of 2015. Megamot Shalom was incorporated in late 2015 and made its first filing in 2016. A series of reports by The Forward in 2018 uncovered evidence that Megamot Shalom was formed as an entity running Canary Mission's operations by UK-born businessman named Jonathan Bash, who now lives in Jerusalem. Bash and Megamot Shalom did not respond to a request for comment. Dropsite's previous investigation confirmed that Megamot Shalom appeared to run Canary Mission with non-public websites revealing staging materials for Canary Mission's website, showing that somebody uploading content for a dossier of a pro-Palestinian activist on the site matched the name of a person listed as a content writer on Megamot Shalom's business listings, a UK-born writer named Alex Ben Carson, now living in Jerusalem. Megamot Shalom's filings reveal it receives millions from overseas donors, including funds from major American nonprofits that were earmarked for Canary Mission on their tax filings, another indication that Megamot operates the website. American donations are moved to Megamot via a New York-based nonprofit called Central Fund of Israel. Dropsite previously uncovered ties between Bash and New York interior design business that shares an address with the Central Fund of Israel. American Israelis who appear to be providing content for Canary Mission's operations via Megamot Shalom come from all over the U.S. and have been involved in American organizations like settler nonprofits, the Wexner Foundation, interesting, I think we recognize that name from somewhere, and Israeli groups with reported ties to the Israeli government, such as the legal nonprofit Shurat Hadin. A number of Megamot Shalom content writers are also associated with Eish HaTorah, a Jewish Orthodox educational nonprofit based in Jerusalem, to which Bash, some of his family members, and other Megamot Shalom board members have longstanding ties. Elihu David Stone appears in the Megamot Shalom government filings every year from 2016 to 2024. In a section that lists the organization's five highest paid employees, his title is given as content writer or content editor, depending on the year, and his top annual compensation was about $80,000, which made him the highest paid employee for 5 years. As Elihu David Stone, originally from Boston, now living in Israel, has previously written pro-Israel content for outlets like the Stone Times of Israel, Stone shared. Stone, of course, did not reply to a request for comment. A lawyer and insurance broker who served in the leadership roles for a variety of Jewish communal organizations, Stone relocated to Efrat, a settlement in the occupied West Bank, in 2017. Okay, so what do we have here? What are we actually, you know, learning about this? First of all, the Wexner Foundation obviously is tied in with Les Wexner, who is one of the main funders and primary collaborators with Jeffrey Epstein. Stone stayed involved with Wexner, attending an alumni retreat in 1994 and writing for the group's website several times, most recently in 2017. The Wexner Heritage Fellowship Program was funded by the Wexner Foundation, which by then had already appointed late sex offender and financier Jeffrey Epstein as a trustee. The foundation described the Heritage Program as designed to strengthen Jewish community leaders by making educational resources and experienced clergy and faculty available to select Jewish communities along with the intensive study of biblical text, history, philosophy, and law. There's no indication that Stone has any connection to Epstein aside from their shared affiliation with the Wexner Foundation, but I think that's about enough. I think that's about enough of the connection. So they go through all of this, but essentially what they're saying is that this is not just, so what you have is you've got Israelis, many of whom are American, born in America, they're from America, but they go to Israel and they're Israeli and that's where their, you know, loyalty lies. And they get money from the Israeli government as well as foreign donors to run a doxing website that uses likely access and cooperation with Mossad and Unit 8200 and the back end of X and the social media companies that they all have agents working in many cases at the very top of. So they can find your information. They can find your real name. If you're anonymous, they can dox you. And then they actually cooperate with the American government in identifying people to put under investigation or even deport in some cases. So here you've got this, for lack of a better term, and if we're being honest, international Jewish cabal using the power and resources of the Israeli government to identify enemies within America to then send that information to the American government, who will carry out the enforcement measures on their behalf. That's what's actually happening here. So again, I ask just why we would allow this to occur, why we would allow this to happen, and how we don't recognize every one of these people as a national security threat, as an enemy committing treason and worthy of fighting back against at the very least. What about Yehud Hakohen, a well-known Israeli settler and rabbi originally from New York, appears in one of Megamot Shalom's highest paid employees. Born Jason Weisbrod in New York, Hakohen joined the Jewish Defense League after graduating from the Manhattan Preparatory School, then moved to Israel in 2001 and enlisted in the IDF. Hakohen has been involved in other pro-Israel campus outreach groups, including another group led by Jonathan Bash called Video Activism. A 2016 promotional video for the group that includes a tagline, "Want to fight for Israel and build your resume," shows Hakohen sitting with Bash on a panel. Hakohen did not respond for a request from comment. So again, all these people, you know, you look at what they dedicate their entire lives to, and the fact that, I mean, all of them have moved to Israel, all of them have dedicated their lives. And I mean, this is the case with a lot of people in America, a lot of Jewish people in America. I mean, their whole lives are dedicated entirely to serving in these organizations whose entire purpose, I mean, the Canary Mission's not out here fighting hate speech. It's not out here even like masking its activity under some sort of just general act of charity. They aren't even pretending to do that. This is strictly a enforcement mechanism for the Israeli regime to target foreigners, Americans, with destruction. They will destroy your life. They will get the bank to cancel you. They will get you deported if you're a Palestinian here on a visa. They have those types of connections. And so you read about these people, and then you understand that according to the newly adopted definition of anti-Semitism, we're supposed to believe that these people, just because they were born in America and have an American passport, they're just as American as you and I. They spend all of their lives sequestered in, you know, exclusionary communities, working, funded, cooperating endlessly with foreign powers on for foreign interest. And we're supposed to, what, ignore all of this? We're supposed to say, yes, but they're just as American as Joe Smith down the street, born in America, lives in America, goes to church in America, never been anywhere except for America. But Yehuda HaKohen, the Israeli settler, Jewish extremist, he was born in New York. So, you know, he's basically American as apple pie. No, this is, again, just unacceptable. And do I even have to say it? Do I even have to present the metaphor or the speculation? What would happen if you went to Israel and did this type of stuff? Any question? Any wonder? They would steal your skin, folks. What would happen is that your skin would become theirs and they'll peel it off your body and freeze it for use later. That's what would happen to anybody that tried to do this in Israel. Why Israelis are allowed to do this in America? I'll leave it up for you to figure out. What could it possibly be? Yeah, Jason, you know Jason, all-American Jason. Writer Josephine Reisman spent several months with HaKohen in 2020 exploring his enigmatic views that mixed some seemingly leftist and progressive ideas with Israeli nationalism. Wow, this is so confusing. How could he hold these two views? Well, I'll give you a hint. An extreme right-winger in Israel is an extreme left-winger in America. Because the right-wing policies make a country strong, and that's what they want for Israel, and the left-wing policies make a country weak, which is what they want for America. There's nothing inconsistent about this. And this is the crazy part about the political, you know, diode that exists now, is you've got people who, you know, they'll be like, they're far right-wing. And it's like, yeah, for Israel. It's like, yes, they are beyond far. I mean, far right wingers in America are just like, we just want our country back. You're not going to find a lot of right wing Americans that are like, and we should take over and kill everyone in, you know, the Mexican state of, I don't even know any of the Mexican states, Chihuahua. Yeah, we should, that's ours actually, and we should kill everybody there. And if they resist, we should kill them. And the children are terrorists too, and we should just kill them all. Like, when you talk about right wing in Israel, you're talking about something that we don't even recognize here in America. And yet when they come to America, what do they support? Everything that they oppose in Israel. There's nothing inconsistent about this. It's perfectly consistent because they're not American. They're Israeli. So don't think it's hypocrisy for them to oppose open borders in Israel and support them in America. That's just their view. That's a perfectly consistent view for them. Because their view is not on the basis of illegal immigration as a principle. Their principle is what's good for Israel. That's it. HaKohen called himself a post-Zionist, but lived in West Bank settlement Bet El. It's like, I am not a Zionist. I am, however, literally engaged in the dictionary definition of Zionism. I am a literal settler of the West Bank, but I'm not a Zionist. Okay. HaKohen held classes in Jerusalem that were funded via the Central Fund of Israel, the same American nonprofit that donations to Canary Mission are earmarked through. So again, it's just, we just have these organizations that are just clearly Israeli cutouts operating here in America, doxing American people, ruining their lives in some cases, and celebrating this and advertising this and acting like this is, you know, unquestionable, that they should be allowed to do this. And you're the anti-Semite if you, say, no, this is weird and wrong, which it is. It's bad. We shouldn't allow it. We should arrest these people. But of course, the ADL has been doing this for years. They literally spy on Americans and send the money to information to Israel. They actually act as just like foreign spies on our soil. And that's just how they are. And of course, that's, you know, that's why we started off with Palantir, because they're exactly the same. Only they are, you know, taking over entire swaths of our government, and we'll have access to all of our information, including our healthcare information and everything else. That's the platform that will make things like Canary Mission unnecessary anymore. You won't have to, you know, find the information through the back end of X and then send it to you know, the American government and then package it in a way that seems like it's about, you know, national security for America when really it's just the enemies of Israel being targeted. That's like a lot of work. It'd be much better when Palantir can just be the operating system that America runs on. And anybody who opposes you, you simply click and delete. And that can be deleting their ability to buy things and get food or have a house. You could do a social credit score thing where it's just anybody who's not actively participating and contributing to your mission. You can just like not let them get access to, you know, bank loans to get houses, things like that. You can just sort of ruin their lives in a soft way like that. Or, you know, it's Palantir. Maybe they'll just, you know, put a bullet in a drone and shoot you in the head. I mean, why not, right? I mean, if people are willing to make you lose your job, try to get your kid taken away from you, try to put you in jail over this stuff, you don't think they'll kill you over it too? Have you looked at Lebanon lately? Did you watch yesterday when we were talking about the Lebanese journalists being hunted down and murdered? And more information came out about that. The woman that Israel hunted down and murdered yesterday, the journalist who they sent threats to and then bombed, and then she went hiding into a house and then they bombed the house. The new information that came out is she was trapped under the rubble. She had a phone. She was able to call her mom and other people and was trapped under the rubble for 6 hours because the Red Cross, the Red Crescent in Lebanon, could not get to her because for 6 hours, the Israelis fired at the ambulance that tried to go rescue her. So they bomb her car. She goes to a house. They bomb the house. And then as she is under the rubble, dying slowly for 6 hours, they spend 6 hours firing at the emergency people just to make sure that they give it enough time for her to slowly and painfully expire under a pile of rubble. So that's what Canary Mission wants to do to us. They just can't do it quite yet. They're making their way there. They're building out the infrastructure. Palantir will be a big help for that. Okay. The Canary Mission's, you know, actions now is all sort of in service of that eventuality, right? You got to get rid of the people now that would stand up against this, smear them as anti-Semites, you know, claim that they hate all Jews if they oppose what Israel's doing or oppose Canary Mission working with Israel to destroy the lives of Americans. Obviously, that means we're Hitler reborn and we have to be shut down. You want to get that going now so that then when the Palantir kill switches come in, nobody will be left to stand up against them. You understand? So you've got to break out of the mindset that any of this is dangerous to say or offensive to say. And if anybody is trying to defend this, they're the bad guys. Okay. It's pretty simple. They're the bad guys. And I got to say, it's kind of sad to see how many people that like have been good for a while, Jewish people in particular. I don't get it. They're like defending this war. They love this war. And these people have been right, you know, and on the right side of things forever. And then something happened. I mean, it's like the guy that we were reading earlier where he's like, yeah, I was psychologically traumatized on purpose as a child and I've never forgiven them. But they're basically fine. But actually, they're good. And you really shouldn't talk bad about them. It's like they tortured you, you idiot. What are you talking about? Why are you defending them? I don't get it. I don't get what this like true. I mean, the depth of the brainwashing in the Jewish community, it is truly shocking, truly. Even now, I'm sure there are people listening to me, like I'm describing a well-organized, well-funded doxing campaign that has destroyed the lives of Americans, that is run by Israelis, that has no even attempt to disguise their actions in the language of global charity or humanitarianism. They are just Jewish extremist, racial superiority, racial supremacists that are destroying anybody that is resisting them. It's not complicated. It's not beneficent. It's not charitable. It's not like some good action that you need to defend. And if you are defending it, I'm suspicious of you. Simply put, why would you defend this? Why would you defend any of these people? Why can't you get over it already? I'm honestly wondering. So Bornstein lists her job since 2014 as a social media manager for Shurat Hadin, or the Israeli Law Center, a Tel Aviv-based organization known for aggressive litigation, accusing individuals and companies of supporting terrorism. Nitsana Darshan Leitner, the group's founder, described in a 2017 book how she worked directly with Mossad to choose the group's legal targets. A 2007 U.S. Embassy cable published by WikiLeaks also details the group's activities. So these are all these groups all tied in together. Working with Mossad, having access to the capabilities of a national government in Israel, having the money stolen from Americans and sent to Israel poured into these types of groups as they raise funds for Israel and do, you know, positive social media campaigns for Israel, and then, of course, destroy people's lives for disagreeing with Israel. It's sick, and we shouldn't allow this, and I don't know why we do. And it seems to me like maybe the only real explanation is the fact that we're all paralyzed by claims of anti-Semitism and are afraid to call out bad behavior, bad actions, tyrannical measures when we see them, if and when they're done by the Jews. And this is what I've always said. I don't choose these things because they're Jewish. I choose these things because what's happening is bad. The things they're doing are evil, and I'm going to call it out. When the defense of these people becomes apparent, the defense is motivated by their Judaism. They're being defended because they're Jewish. I'm not criticizing them because they're Jewish, but that's why I'm supposed to not criticize them? That doesn't make any sense. I think I'll criticize anybody I want. Thank you very much. And as long as they're doing evil things, I think I'll call them out. And you can call me anti-Semitic for that, but it's not my fault they're Jewish. It really isn't. And if they weren't, I'd still be criticizing them. But you can't say the same. People who disagree with me, you got to stop being bigots. Stop being biased and just deal with it. I guess you just have to deal with it at a certain point. I'm going to find this. I'm going to find the clip of the guy from the Canary Mission so we can show it at the beginning of the next hour. I'll be joined by Tiffany Cianci in the third hour of today's program. I'm going to find the clip of the Canary Mission guy just so you can hear sort of who this guy is and what he describes in the Eighth Front documentary I made. So he's like, we're going to have thousands or hundreds or dozens of groups, and they'll all be interconnected, and they'll all be collaborating, and they'll all work together, and they'll all be able to basically identify and destroy the lives of anybody that opposes them. And that's American, Israeli, it doesn't matter to them. If you oppose them, you will be destroyed. If you're Jewish, guess what? You'll be destroyed too. They don't give a damn. So why do you? It doesn't make any sense why anybody would support these people. Not if you're an American, not if you genuinely believe in the right to free speech, which includes as a core component of the First Amendment, the right to choose your own religion, which means the right to criticize, mock, denigrate, lie about any other religion. So if you love the First Amendment, you should really hate these people.
I'm very pleased to announce two new great products at theoliveshowstore.com that will 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at theoliveshowstore.com. They're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular, long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods and everywhere else because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, TheAlexShowStore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, lasts up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill, a strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. That's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to, say, 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Big League and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. I'm having trouble being able to kind of ease into non-work mode. And this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.